So hello, welcome to another episode of The Secret Sauce. And today I have the pleasure of interviewing Mike Harrington, who is the president, CEO, I don't know what you call it in the States, but you're going to let me know in a minute, of Carolina Retreats, a property management company in the United States, in North Carolina, in fact. They have 300 properties under management, also motels and inns. So I'm very, very curious about that business model. And Mike happens to be the ex-president also of the VIMA. And so that's my second president on the show, because we had Jodie Taylor recently as well. So that's great. And yes, that's for the intro. Thanks for being here, Mike. Without further ado, please tell us briefly what you were doing before Carolina Retreats and what you're doing now at Carolina Retreats. What's your position?
Well, thank you, Vanessa. I appreciate it. I've listened to pretty much all the episodes so far. I'm a vacation rental junkie for sure. So anything that pops up vacation related, I'm listening, and I'm trying to get as much information as I can from others, and helps me in my business. But I've been doing this for a little over 15 years now, which is insane. I mean, it was pretty much right out of graduate school for me. I went to East Carolina University, which is sort of my hometown school, was on an athletic scholarship there, and then stayed in, went to business school. So I got an MBA from there as well. And then really just funny, I kind of happened to post a job posting for a real estate company on the Outer Banks. And it was, you know, assistant manager. We have vacation homes, real estate, all that sort of stuff. So I said, fantastic. I like to surf and I like the beach. So real estate's fine. Let's go do it. And that's sort of how I fell into it. And one thing kind of led to another, and was really fortunate to get information on the business part of it, obviously operations part of it, how all that worked. And I just sort of stayed and went through, worked for a few different companies, got some wonderful experience. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, was very lucky. Actually, Ben Edwards helped me, and I was able to acquire my own business. And from there, we've just been growing, and here we are. So I'm very excited.
Wow. So you grew. So you started off with how many properties? And you grew
to... What we did was we acquired our first business and kind of launched our company. So we started and we bought a little company called Topsail Realty, which was in Topsail Island on the North Carolina coast. It had about 150 or so properties when we bought that business. And, you know, we knew from day one, we obviously wanted to grow that market. We also wanted to grow an adjacent market. So if you are familiar with North Carolina, especially in my area, which is the southern part, southern coast of North Carolina, there's tons of little beach towns that kind of dot the coast, and they're beautiful, they're wonderful, tons of vacation homes. We're kind of smack dab in the middle of it. So we knew we could, you know, if we could start there, we could branch out, we could consolidate some back office services, things like that. So that's what we've been doing. We're in a couple different adjacent markets now. And we're just, you know, we're growing smartly. We're not shotgun approach style of business. We don't like to go wide, is what I say. We like to go deep. So when we identify a market that we want to go into, we're going to commit to that market and we're going to get scale in that market. So that's where we are right now.
That sounds good. So why don't we go straight onto that? So how are you planning to scale? If there's lots of competition, there's lots of other businesses, are you going to acquire, or how is the scaling going to work?
That's the secret sauce, right? So,
well, that's what I'm here for.
So there's a lot of really good little companies throughout. I want to give them tons of credit. I mean, look, I'm not the kind of person who's going to go in there and feel like I'm better than everybody else and just take business. That's not how it works. I mean, I got to fight tooth and nail just like everybody else does. But, you know, I feel like when we identify a market and we go into it, that there's room for someone else, right? I mean, you know, anybody that tells you they have a better mousetrap's not telling you the full story, especially in a market that's mature, that's been around for, you know, decades like our markets. But you know, I do feel, you know, we do bring something a little different to the table that maybe traditionally has been in those markets. And there's always homeowners that are looking for something a little bit different. So that's where we are. You know, we'll get our fair share of inventory, and then we'll go from there.
Great. So what is the brand? What does Carolina Retreat stand for?
So, you know, we feel like, you know, we're a little bit of a higher level of attention to detail when it comes to our homes. And I always like to say, look, we're not the Walmart of vacation rentals, right? We're probably more like the Nordstrom of vacation rentals, which is a reference to retail. You know, so if that limits my actual inventory growth, then you know, so be it. That's just the way it works. So we're not in it for number of properties. We're in it for, frankly, we're in it for profit per property. You know, what does that look like? How does that make sense? And, you know, we try to be a little more selective in that as we go into, you know, each area.
Okay. And so to the owners, how does the brand, how do you market yourself to
yeah,
owners?
So again,
what is the brand? Yeah. Is it a family? Not, is it a family brand like Jody recently or?
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, I own it. So it's my family, but I mean, it's not, we, you know, we're professional number one, we're local number two, right? So we're highly involved in all the local markets with sponsorships and, you know, little leagues and, you know, whatever else, helping charities, whatever that looks like, you know. So, you know, we feel like some of our experience and some of the folks that work with us, our experience, you know, we can bring that to the table. And again, it's a relationship driven business. So if you trust us and we're able to provide you that level of service that you might not ordinarily get in some of these other areas, and then that's what we bring, and that's really what we try to hammer home ultimately for our property owners.
So it's full service, right? You
full
take
service.
Care of everything, and you don't have a la carte, so I could just do marketing for you. You don't do that, just full service company.
Right. Yeah. You know, so there's companies out there that do that. And I think Brian was on your podcast, and that was, you know, I love listening to him. I mean, they got a really good company. I mean, but we're hands-on full service. So, you know, you call me up when a hurricane is coming and I'm at your house, you know, shutting the windows, you know, locking the doors, all that sort of stuff. So there's something for everybody. You know, if you need that, and a lot of people really do and want that, that's what we are.
Full service, full trust kind of thing.
Right.
Love it. So, and who are your customers on the guest side? I hear that in these regions where you are, there's a lot of repeat business. Is it that you get a lot of families coming back all the time to the same rentals, even to the same houses?
It's insane. I mean, we've had people stay with us for 40 years. I mean, it's insane. So That is the one good thing about our markets, you know, that we really hammer home on that is repeat business. And you get repeat business not by, you know, maximizing their revenue all the time. It's making sure the guest has a great experience. You're providing value and you're providing the level of service that they can trust you with their vacation year in and year out. And, you know, we've been very fortunate in that. I mean, you know, I know this year is a little bit of an outlier, but I mean, to our projected total, we're generally booked out for the summer by, you know, well, now really, but in an ordinary year, we'll probably be 40% booked out by, you know, the end of February, and then we start filling in everything else out of that. So it's just organic reservations that are already on the books before we do anything.
Right. So we're going to talk about marketing in a minute. And so, you know, many of the property management companies, urban ones mainly, they tend to make sure that you kind of recognize the brand, even inside the rental. Is there something that you do in terms of branding the actual product as such?
Well, I mean, I think... You know, we're not putting, you know, little tchotchkes in the house or anything like that. But we communicate with you throughout the stay. So, you know, well before the stay, while you're in the home, and after your stay. So we're constantly communicating with you, you know, soliciting feedback, asking if you need anything. And that's beneficial, right? So we're always in your ear in case you need us, number one, and after the fact, so we can bring you back as a repeat customer. So a lot of folks, you know, get really worried about obviously the OTA channels and Airbnb and Vrbo. Look, those are fine. I mean, they're just, we get bookings through those channels, right? But it's up to us to then, if that guest wants to come back to our area, they're coming back directly to us. And we hammer that point home. And, you know, Vrbo would say the same thing. They're like, hey, if you guys can do that, fantastic. You know, that's, but you got to be able to do that. So.
Okay, so let's talk about marketing, please. So repeat business, what's the percentage of repeat business that you have currently?
Repeat business, I mean, it varies, but I mean, I would say roughly half of our stays, probably more than half, more like 60% are folks that have stayed with us at one point or the other, you know, over the years.
So you'd say that's your organic. And then you have your book direct, is that on top of... Repeat.
Yeah, so we have, I mean, you know, just to kind of give you some broad numbers, I mean, roughly 90% of our stays are direct bookings, and the other 10 are through various channels, you know. And then I'll be honest, you know, Vrbo is our number one OTA channel, and then it kind of really goes down there. But I think that's more market driven than anything else. I mean, our market, you know, Vrbo is just much bigger in our markets than Airbnb.
So you don't even try the other guys, or you do put your inventory on the other
guys?
Yeah,
I mean, we've tried. So, you know, we'll talk about just, you know, Airbnb is certainly one that we're looking at a little harder. I mean, I will say it, with the COVID situation, it really, really put a bad taste in my mouth with that. You know, we like to work with companies where we're merchant of record, which through Vrbo, I think booking.com, you know, allows us to be merchant of record. You know, in North Carolina, just a little bit more, you know, kind of backstory, we're governed very heavily by the North Carolina Real Estate Commission, which is a governmental body. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to do in our everyday business. And sometimes those OTA channels just don't really align with some of the processes that we have to make, you know, legally, basically, to operate.
That's interesting. So advocacy, you I imagine, you know, since you were president of the VRMA, I imagine you're heavily involved in advocacy.
So I was involved in advocacy from the national level of VRMA. I have been involved on the state level as well. I mean, I have to be honest, and I feel bad for saying this, but, you know, our areas, they're just so traditional vacation rental dependent. I mean, we haven't had a lot of that. I mean, there's certainly things that have popped up on our radar that have scared us. So, you know, it certainly is one of those things that, and, you know, Matt Curtis will tell you, you know, if you haven't had it yet, it's coming. So you need to be prepared. And I fully agree with that, that you've got to be prepared, because if you're caught flat-footed, it's just going to be a mess. But, I mean, the folks that are really driving that charge now, the VRMA, are doing a wonderful job. I know Rent Responsibly is doing a wonderful job, and then a host of other various organizations out there as well.
Yeah, well worth looking into that for everybody's regions, really. So let's talk about technology. Yeah. So, tell me, you have developers in-house?
We have not. So we use Hostess Systems. It makes zero sense for a company like us to try to develop our own technology. How we use that technology might be a little different than other people, but, you know, for the most part, I mean, it's all hosted, and then it does the job, right? I mean, so, and I'm not going to pretend we're not a technology company, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, any property management company that tells you they're a tech company is not really telling you the full story, right? So, I mean, we're a services company, number one, and we use technology to help us do a better job. So, if I had to put all my investment and time and effort developing technology, I wouldn't be able to do anything else, right? So, it does a job for us. I mean, Would I love to be able to go in there and make some modifications and customize on my own? Absolutely. You know, but sometimes you have to work within the framework that you have.
I love that. That's really good. Well, we can use all the help we can get, I tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you outsource. Tell me a little about the tech stack. There's a PMS. I expect there's an enterprise level PMS. No, or
yep.
Or are you looking to change? Have you changed every 2 years like everyone else, or
what's well, yeah. Actually, unfortunately, yes.
I was forced
to. So we started when I bought the company. We were on a system called Property Plus, which was a server based software. So DOS based, pretty old school. Not DOS based, but it was a server based. Pretty old school system. So we switched to V12. And then a couple of years after that, they told us they were sunsetting V12. So fantastic, right? So we've switched over to Track software, and it's been good. You know, frankly, they were able to take our tech stack from 5 or 6 different pieces down to, 2 or 3. And that's been beneficial for us because, we have a lot of folks that work in our organization. I mean, they're not, and we don't require them to be tech, aficionados, right? I mean, they have other things that they need to be doing. So if I can make that as simple as possible on their end, that's my goal. And then, from us, from an executive level, from reporting, from, KPIs, from communication, all of that, then we'll figure out the best way we need to do that on our end. And, the resurgence of Key Data and some of these other reporting softwares have been fantastic. I used to run those reports manually myself, scraping websites and trying to figure out what's going on, and now I can do it like that and puts me in a better position moving forward for competition.
Very good point about PMS needing to be easy for everyone, yeah. And so, is there anything else they use, like in terms of home automation, keyless entries? Give me some gadgets.
I mean, so all of our homes are fully smart home keyless. We do use Point Central, so I'll reference the vendors that we use because they do a good job. We invested heavily in that. I mean, the way we did it versus some of our competitors, I actually bought all of the hardware. So I own the hardware, and then we pass along some of the software costs, just through various fees to on bookings and things like that. But, we felt like we needed to control the hardware, because if I left it up to all of my property owners, and again, in North Carolina, it's a little different. I can't require you to spend $300 or $400, and especially in a very competitive area like ours, some of these folks are just not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. And then you lose all the benefits of, the keyless entry and you've been able to monitor who's going in, who's going out. So we decided to do it that way. We are starting to put some of the smart thermostats in the homes as well. We feel like energy costs, will continue to rise, and this might be a really good way to separate ourselves from the competition even more, and obviously homeowners appreciate that as well. So we do not do any of the noise monitoring right now. I mean, I don't think that is quite an issue in our area because it's such a tourist area. We're certainly looking at all those things moving forward.
And I know, so that must have been quite an investment though, right? I mean, no.
It was.
And again, yeah. Whoa, bit scary, right? But it was worth it.
It was 100% worth it. I mean, so I'll give you a little story. I tell people this when we decided to do it. I just bought the company. So I was coming down and we just moved in our house and I was with my wife and young kids. And I get a call about 11 o'clock. We're locked out, or they check in and the key was not left out. That's what it was. I'm like, oh my God. So I would drive an hour to the office. I get in the office. There's a cabinet with all the keys in it, and the cabinet is locked. And I don't know where the key is to the cabinet, right? I just showed up, and I'm the owner of the company. So I'm like trying to break in this cabinet, and then finally I randomly find the key. But I was like, after that, I'm like, these guests were so nice. They were just sitting there, like, arms crossed, looking at me, like, you know, poor guy. But, you know, after that, we said, no more. I picked up the phone. I called Point Central, said, let's get it going.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Well, I mean, it's good, I guess, and then for guest reviews, because this doesn't happen. And also the headaches of opening the doors.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And the cost that involves. Great, great, great. So, biggest mistake. I mean, this was an anecdote, but business mistake, let's say, that you've made in the last 5-6 years.
Oh, well, a lot of them. You know, I wish I could say everything was a home run. Unfortunately, it has not been. You know, we've grown through acquisition as well as organic. We've acquired a handful of businesses to grow, you know, in adjacent markets. And I guess I was used to companies like ours, had a little bit of size, a little bit more processes in place. We've bought some smaller companies in the 20 to 30 property range. And I was a little bit taken aback about, you know, how much, I guess how much we actually needed to do to onboard those homeowners and really kind of explain, you know, what we do and why we do things. So that was a little difficult. I thought it might just be a no brainer, right? Oh, they're coming with a larger company, more resources, you know, this and that. And that's not what it was. But we found out too, a lot of these homeowners, you know, they're specifically with companies with 20 to 30 homes because they don't want to be with bigger companies, right? So, you know, that's a hard thing to overcome when you have those property owners that want that really, really sort of hand-holding, you know, 24/7.
So you got that nailed now, you know, you have to
speak. I wouldn't say that, no. Yeah, have it nailed because we're not going to do any more of those deals. That's
right.
That's what we're going to do.
So acquisition is going to be a bigger acquisition.
Well, I mean, yeah, so, you know, we don't go hunting for acquisitions. I mean, if an acquisition presents itself, then we will absolutely look at it and pursue it. You know, and we can get into this in a minute, but I think what we've done lately, especially over the past year or two, is we've been really focused on the real estate investment side with these motel and inn properties. So that,
let's get on
that
to
is
that.
Something, yeah, we've started.
Tell me about that, please.
So what kind of launched that was, you know, we had a thesis, right? We had an investment thesis that said, okay, number one, it's really hard to buy a vacation rental company. I mean, it's a lot of money. The financing is not that great from banks. It's just, there's a lot of moving parts, right? It's just hard. So we said, well, what if we were able to identify and acquire one of these old beach motels, inns, whatever, right? In a market, fix it up, and then build property management around that. Now, it does a couple things. Number one, it provides immediate revenue from you, right? So you own the inventory and you're getting revenue. You have a staff, right, on site in an office. You have, you know, 90% of the infrastructure that you need to launch property management right out of the gate. And then you just start building around that. So that's what we did. And, you know, thesis turned into action, and we identified a property, and we did it. We bought a property in Oak Island, which is a little south of us on the coast of North Carolina, another one of those nice little beach communities. Fantastic property, needs a ton of work. But, you know, it's also exciting in the fact that, you know, we're building equity in something. Really, the community's stoked. I mean, because this was an eyesore for years, and now they look at us like heroes because we're transforming it and making it nice. And they're like, oh man, this is fantastic. Great. And you know, long as we don't, you know, screw up and do anything wrong. I mean, you know, I think it's going to be a really, really good situation for us.
Wow. So they all have kitchens. So the service.
Most of them do. Yeah. So this property is a little unique. It's 22 total units, 10 of which are sort of motel style, just more transient. And then 12 are literally like one and two bedroom apartment style with kitchens, you know, small kitchens, but kitchens, separate bedrooms, bathrooms, whole nine yards. And, you know, that was another thing that really attracted us to us. I mean, because this, you don't find those very often, you know, for the price that we got it at. And we were just like, you know, this is kind of a no brainer. You know, we just got to do it. So So that was sort of our foray into that. We also operate one of those style of properties on Topsail Island where we're based out of, but we partnered with the gentleman and we're the operator of that. So we don't own that property, but we're the operator. But that's been very beneficial as well to us and learned a whole lot, and then we're going to kind of keep identifying those as we go.
So that's how you're going to scale. I got it now.
One way.
Very good. Well, that's super interesting. I don't want to hold you up too long, but I'd like to just very quickly your thoughts on the future, maybe the immediate future, 2021.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you, but from everything that's going on right now, it seems like we've seen this playbook before, maybe not at this level, but I've seen it before. I mean, I started getting this business right when ResortQuest, which is based in, the States, was starting to gobble up companies and, they were attempting to scale through acquisitions and then they went public. And first publicly traded vacation rental management company ever. So we've seen that before and that was the future. And then all of a sudden it wasn't the future, right? So it's, and I'm not saying that's going to happen to, a Picasso or a Sai or anybody else. I mean, these guys are competent. They know what they're doing, but I will say this, it's also very difficult and they will tell you that as well. It's very difficult to scale operations. I mean, you can scale reservations, right? You can scale marketing, you can scale all of that, but scaling housekeeping, scaling maintenance at 11 o'clock at night because the water doesn't work is tremendously hard. And, that still remains to be seen how that's going to turn out. I said it on Amy's webinar and I'll say it again, I still think the value of a locally based property management firm who's rooted in the community, there's always going to be a need and a market for those people. So I wouldn't get discouraged.
Good. That's great. That's wonderful. So you know how I end the interview, since you've been listening to me, I like that. I hope you've been listening until the end, because we usually do a true false at the end, and there is no there's no right or wrong. It's basically your opinion more. And the idea is to say true or false. So shall we?
No context, just true or false, correct?
Just true or false, what do you think?
You
agree on it. So vacation rentals will be the preferred accommodation option for the next 2 years.
I would say that's true.
Yes, bring it on. We will not go back to strict cancellation policies.
That is false.
Uh-huh. Google will become the only OTA.
Oh, that's false. Yeah.
Everybody says that.
Completely.
Enterprise level revenue management will be a must for all business sizes in order to survive. It's a must.
I would say that's true. Maybe not right now, but that will be true soon. Mm-hmm.
Because we're professionalizing everyone, aren't we? You have revenue managers in house? I didn't ask you that.
We don't have in house. We have we do outsource part of that, and we use some pricing tools, which I forgot to mention in our tech stack. But we use all that as well. Motels and inns, we do use rented, and they've done a wonderful job for us from an outsourced revenue management team. Mm-hmm. But that piece of the equation, like in your question, is going to have to be answered moving forward, because guys like me and other companies of my size are using it, and we have proof in the pudding, that it works. So
that it works.
If you're not using that sort of stuff, then you're going to be at a disadvantage, moving forward.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Short-term rental managers will need to also think like letting agents and offer short, mid, and long-term stays. Not just short, but combining,
right?
Or combining, or being able to,
Depends on your business model. I would say true false. Yeah, I don't know.
because in your low season, how you don't offer midterm or?
So we do a little bit of that. I mean, we'll offer monthly stays. We'll offer multi-month. But it'll be in the off season. It's not something that we want to focus on. It doesn't make sense for our owners to focus on that because we get so much per night, in the short
term. In the high season, yes. Gotcha. Yeah. Size matters. Larger units will prevail in 2021.
I would say that's false.
Okay. Corporate travel will never come back to previous levels.
So hard to see it come back to that, but I would say false.
I'm not supposed to answer, but
I don't really do a lot of corporate travel.
In 2021, we will cheers again with a cocktail at a vacation rental event.
True, and I will be there.
Yes, at the VMA, you coming?
I will be there.
Of course,
that's right.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Is that the first one you're going to? Because there's quite a few now. I'm putting out a list on the blog soon, and there's quite a few in the autumn.
Hmm? I don't know. I'm gonna look. I gotta start penciling my schedule out, but I will be in VRMA. So if you guys are going to be there, which I highly suggest you do, come find me. Let's go have a drink at the bar.
Of course we'll be there. Have to be there. I wouldn't miss it. Had to miss it last year. I mean, that was bad enough, wasn't it? Well, thank you so much. That was really interesting. Thanks so much for accepting to be on the podcast. And I wish you all the very, very best. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I feel like I made it now. Thanks, Vanessa.
Funny. Cheers. Talk to you later. Cheers. Bye-bye.